Hey everyone. I'm a little bit behind on Google's recommendations relating to AI this week, partly because I was a bit run down earlier in the week and rather busy catching up with myself after that. So I've seen bits and pieces, but I wanted to have a proper read through what's in here. And because this is Google, there's going to be a lot of reading between the lines, and a lot of things that people will accidentally, or in some cases willfully, misunderstand sometimes because they make better stories. So let's see what Google are really saying here, and let's go through this and unpack this together. So, this document is called Optimizing Your Website for Generative AI Features on Google Search. It's not about other LLMs, based on this title. We haven't gone any further, but it's not purporting to be about other LLMs, and it's not claiming to be about Google offerings such as Gemini. I did watch the Google I/O keynote for 2026 yesterday, and I think they are differentiating quite well between their search product with AI features and their fully generative AI becoming agentic AI offering under Gemini. And of course, there's a lot of crossover, but in terms of who they're aimed at and who's using them, there's a lot of differences. So it looks like this is going to be focused on those search feature. Those search features. So, introduction text, kind of what you would expect, user preferences rapidly evolving, gravitating towards generative AI experiences to help them find information. Yeah, I'd add to that that people are doing that almost without realizing a lot of the time because they're using Google Search that they always have used. And those generative AI experiences are a part of that, and they end up using them without necessarily even kind of realizing, because they're people are used to Google Search evolving. It's always evolved. It's always been new kind of SERPs features over the years, and so people maybe don't see that as anything different. New opportunities to reach people, more inclined to engage with your site. Yeah, so this is kind of basically. Don't panic, guys. This is good news for you that we're adding all these extra AI features. More time with your content, becoming a subscriber, making a purchase. This guide is for website owners looking for official best practice from Google Search on how to succeed in generative AI features in Google for Search. And here it says, yes, yeah, such as AI overviews and AI mode. So, yeah. This isn't referring to AI more generally, and I think people need to, realize that. Interesting here, they're trying to kind of sell it as a positive thing because they're obviously aware that a lot of website owners, a lot of SEOs are panicking about the impact of these features, of things like AIOs on clicks, on traffic. And then we get to the important stuff for us SEOs. Is SEO still relevant for generative AI search? Good news. Apparently, it is. Best practices for SEO continue to be relevant because our generative AI features on Google Search are rooted in our core search ranking and quality systems. These features rely on AI techniques to highlight content from our search index. Yeah, so no surprises there, and I completely agree with that. People, shouldn't be taking this as Google saying, just do exactly the same. What it's saying is the stuff you've been doing for SEO is relevant. At this point, it's not saying there's nothing extra you need to do, which is something I've seen going around on LinkedIn that people kind of are trying to put that spin on it. But so far, that doesn't seem to be where this is going. So, what have we got? Retrieval augmented generation, of course. And this is something that for a long time now we've known about, but a lot of people seem to ignore when they're talking about AI and they're talking about the impact of AI and that SEO is dead. Well, yeah, we still need to do SEO for the retrieval augmented generation part. So what exactly are they saying here? Technique, also known as grounding, used to improve the quality, accuracy, and freshness of AI responses by relying on our core search ranking systems to retrieve relevant up-to-date web pages from our search index. Our systems then review the specific information from those retrieved pages to generate a more reliable and helpful response, showing prominent clickable links to relevant web pages that support the information in the response. Yeah. So obviously Google here are just talking about their own systems and the importance of RAG to their systems. We should know that search is an important step within the kind of how RAG is done by other LLMs as well. But for now, we're focusing on Google. And you're then giving a clear indication here that they're still using that search index. We still need to be in that search index. It's not quite the same as for LLMs like ChatGPT and Claude and so on, which are looking at results from other search engines and are seeing maybe the top 10, in some cases the top 30 results, and deciding which of those to then look at in more detail. But you know, if we're not coming up well within search results within Google, then we're clearly not seen as a relevant page, as a high quality page, fresh page here that can be used for those AI responses. And query fan out is more important for AI mode, but let's see exactly what Google say. A set of concurrent related queries generated by the model to request more information and fetch additional relevant search results to address the user's query. For example, if the original user's query is how to fix a lawn that's full of weeds, fan out queries might include best herbicides for lawns, remove weeds without chemicals, and how to prevent weeds in lawn. And if you are using AI mode will do this in the background for, in some cases, as many as 100 additional queries that are being searched for in the background to find relevant content to give as answers. And again, you have to be there within those search results. There's still a search result, even if you're not seeing that search result as a user, there's still a search result being used by the AI. So nothing we shouldn't already know here, but I think Google doing a good job here of trying to bust some myths that SEO isn't relevant and we don't need to worry about rankings anymore. Being in the index, being SEO friendly, being seen as good quality content, and being within those queries for the query fan out, still just as important. So nothing here so far that I'd say like, oh, well, you know, Google are pulling the wool over our eyes or trying to gaslight us here. What about AEO and GEO? AEO stands for Answer Engine Optimization and GEO for Generative Engine Optimization. These are both terms you may see used to describe work specifically focused on improving visibility in AI search experiences. From Google Search's perspective, optimizing for generative AI search is optimizing for the search experience and thus still SEO. This is one that I've seen this piece copied and misinterpreted within the last few days. Google are saying that these things still count as SEO, as you're still optimizing for a search experience. What they're not saying is that for AI search, you're going to do exactly the same tactics that you were doing previously for SEO. So I don't think this is Google saying anything inaccurate. I think Google are agreeing with a lot of people in the industry that AOGEOR types of SEO, at least, maybe more specific than just SEO, but it's still SEO. It's still optimizing for a search platform. That's Google's opinion. That's, you know, matches my opinion. I know some people kind of see it as a little bit different. And I think as things evolve, there will be more different AI platforms where people are doing things that'll go a bit beyond search, such as, you know, optimizing for fully agentic AI within LLMs, where it's not that we're getting them to search necessarily, we're just getting them to do things for us. And search may be a part of that. But for now, and for what this piece of content is relevant to, and for what most people mean when they're talking about AEO and GEO, yeah, it is the same. So I don't think there's anything controversial there. And really, really, you know, to be clear here, Google aren't trying to tell us that the tactics are same. They're the same. They're just saying that AEO and GEO still count as search optimization. Apply foundational SEO best practices to generative AI search. Okay, so this should be an interesting section. This section focuses on reframing SEO best practices to understand what matters most to AI systems today and how you can implement them in the context of generative AI search, and ultimately with the goal of improving your website's visibility in both generative AI search experiences and Google search overall. Yeah, nothing controversial there, right? Create valuable non-commodity content for your audience. Yeah, I mean, that is a foundation of SEO and is still what we need to do now, right? Creating content that people find unique, compelling, and useful will likely influence your website's presence in generative AI search in the long run more than any of the other suggestions in this guide. While unique, valuable, good content can mean different things to different people, content like this generally shares some common attributes, such as providing a unique point of view. Okay, I'm not going to go for every single one of these and read every single one out. Providing a unique point of view. Yeah, that's, you know, experience and expertise part of EAT, already part of search. We also knew it's, you know, useful for AI as well. Creating something that AI can't just create itself, that it can't get from somewhere else, that kind of unique experience. Creating non-commodity content that's helpful, reliable, and people first. Yeah, you know, basically the opposite of advertorial kind of stuff that really tries to be useful, not just trying to sell a product. Yeah, so what's the example here? Commodity content, something like 7 tips for first-time home buyers, often based on common knowledge, could originate from anyone. Yeah, so I see it's kind of, you know, focusing more on content that just anybody creates and has been done before and, you know, done to death, really. So like that, you know, I guess is the flip side of the previous point. It's about adding something extra, adding extra value, which can be a unique point of view, can be real world expertise that other people don't have. Organizing content in a way that helps your readers, write it for a human audience. Content is well written, easy to follow. Organization tips there. So all stuff we should be doing already. The AI powered, you know, Google search algorithms now, whether it's picking content to show in the traditional results or within AI overviews or AI mode, is able to understand content much more like a human than ever before, and that's been improving for a long time. So this is just a continuation of that. Focus on what users want and avoid overdoing it. Yeah, understand the intent, match the intent, rather than, you know, telling them what you want to tell them what they need to know, and you know, these are all basics of SEO, which are even more important, if anything, now. If you're using generative AI tools to assist in content creation, be sure that your work meets the standards of the search essentials and our spam policies. For more details on our approach, see our guidance on AI-generated content. So not saying don't use AI to assist you in content creation, but follow these policies. And you're not going to be able to create things like that unique point of view, unique experience using AI on its own, because AI is going to be great for creating this commodity content, which everyone else has done before, because it will look at what's been done before and it will just regurgitate what's already there, and it will struggle to add any additional value to that. But it can help you out with research and with writing of content where you are adding experience and expertise. You can simplify your approach by focusing on one core principle. Focus on what your visitors would enjoy, find helpful, and feel satisfied with after visiting your website. If you're ever unsure about a decision for your site, ask yourself, is this content that my visitors would find satisfying? So basically, match intent. They're not saying match intent, but they mean match intent, really, right? You know, we've got to remember, okay, this may seem obvious to SEOs, to good SEOs, but obviously this is aimed at website owners, not necessarily, you know, experienced SEOs. So I think that's all good advice, good solid advice in that section there. Build and maintain a clear technical structure. You know, like we're saying, you know, we still have to be in the search index for Google to be returning us as results in these different AI features. The way Google searches, finds, and processes your pages remains the core of how our AI systems access your data. Technical clarity ensures your content is ready for discovery and indexing, and all existing technical SEO best practices continue to be worthwhile. For example, meets the search technical requirements. To be eligible to be shown in generative AI features on Google Search, a page must be indexed and eligible to be shown in Google Search with a snippet fulfilling the search technical requirements. Yep. That shouldn't be a surprise to us. That's still SEO, right? That's still technical SEO. You can call it technical AI SEO if you want, but it's basically getting those basics right. Follow crawling best practices. Make sure it's crawlable. Public accessible, all of these things we should know. And equally important for other AI search and LLMs as well. When it comes to semantic HTML, focus on human readability and don't worry about perfect code. Okay. While it's not required to have perfectly semantic HTML, the web is in general is not valid HTML and Google can understand it, it's generally a good idea to try to use semantic HTML when possible, as it helps other types of users such as screen readers parse and navigate your web page more easily. Interesting one. So Google telling us that for them, and it's important to remember this is what they're telling us is important for them, that semantic HTML isn't too important. I'd say the evidence is that, you know, Google will use semantic HTML where necessary. If it's not there, it'll try and work around it. If you've not got semantic HTML, for example, tags showing what your main content is, Google will try and understand what the main content of the page is without it. But if you've got the tags there, I think it's more likely to get it right. And I would definitely say that other LLMs do use semantic HTML, particularly with the web fetch functions they use. They'll look at the source code, they'll look at semantic HTML if it's there, and if there's clear indications what the main content is, for example, they will use that to pull visible text and pull the relevant visible text and not just pull everything back to the LLM. But that's fine because Google are saying here, you know, other tools might use it. They're not mentioning other LLMs, but the reality is other LLMs as well. If you're using JavaScript, be sure to follow JavaScript SEO best practices. Google is able to process content within JavaScript as long as it isn't blocked. That said, working on SEO with a website that uses JavaScript frameworks is generally more complex than when working with other kinds of websites. Make sure to follow the usual SEO best practices for JavaScript. And I mean, for Google, the basics are make sure everything is in the initial DOM when the page first loads, so things aren't relying on user interactions to load. And Google here are talking about how their systems work, and that's completely accurate. What they're not mentioning is that other LLMs, tools that we consider AI search, can't see JavaScript. But if we're trying to read this as a complete guide to AI SEO or AEO or GEO, then we're misreading what it is, because that's not what it's for, right? Provide a good page experience. So obviously we can go into kind of exactly what page experience is like, but Google telling us page experience is still important. So no surprises there. Reduce duplicate content. Having duplicate content can be bad user experience, and search engines might waste crawling resources. Yeah, of course. We still need to make sure that it's clear to search engines which pages they should be showing, and not wasting crawl budget. Okay, optimizing for local business and e-commerce details. So you might expect Google to be saying a little bit more about UCP here, and maybe that will be the next update, unless it's hidden somewhere else. But they're talking about Merchant Center and Google Business profiles being important and being visible in AI responses. Yeah. The more I'm reading through this, the more I'm feeling like as SEOs, we shouldn't need this, and there shouldn't be any surprises here. And this is a good resource for site owners, you know, to be getting guidance for what to do for getting visibility in Google generative AI features, and nothing more. So maybe people have lost their heads about this a little bit too much and try to make, you know, a story out of this that isn't actually that interesting for us who've been working this for a while, who've been doing AI SEO for a year and a half already. Okay, myth-busting, generative AI search, what you don't need to do. Okay, maybe this is going to be the controversial stuff. As generative AI search evolves, so have the theories and practices and sometimes the misconceptions surrounding it. While terms like answer engine optimization or generative engine optimization, GEO, are common online, many suggested hacks aren't effective or supported by how Google search actually works, by how Google search actually works. Okay? Not Gemini, not ChatGPT, not Claude, how Google search actually works. Okay, so let's bear that in mind. To help you focus on what matters for your website's visibility, we've collected some of the most prominent topics circulating the internet around generative AI and Google search. Here are a few things you can ignore for Google search. Again, making it clear it's Google search. LLM.txt files and other special markup. You don't need to create new machine-readable files, AI text files, markup or markdown to appear in generative AI search. Note that Google may discover, crawl, and index many kinds of files in addition to HTML on a website. That doesn't mean that the file is treated in a special way. Okay, I think that's relatively clear, at least the first half. LLM's text is not important for Google search. Now, I personally don't think it's currently being used by any other LLMs, really. And the fact that Google or other LLMs may access those files doesn't mean that they're using them. And I think that's what Google are getting at with the second half of this. Just because they crawl and index your LLMs.txt doesn't mean that they're necessarily treating it as a directive in the way you think they might. Chunking content. There's no requirement to break your content into tiny pieces for AI to better understand it. Google systems are able to understand the nuance of multiple topics on a page and show the relevant pieces to users. However, sometimes shorter or longer pages can work well depending on your audience and subject matter. There's no ideal page length, and in the end, make pages for your audience, not just for generative AI search. Yeah, so you've got to, you know, make pages based on what we're talking about earlier, matching user intent. Chunking, does it work for other LLMs? We know that Perplexity will break up a page and look at the most relevant chunks, not necessarily the whole page when coming up with answers. But yeah, I mean, Google here is saying, what are they saying? Tiny pieces? Is that how they put it? Yes, tiny pieces for AI. No, the reality is, if we're doing passage optimization, which is similar but maybe slightly different to chunking, I think that still works. And I don't, and Google aren't necessarily saying don't do that. And when I talk about passage optimization, you know, I'm talking about a section of a page that gives a very clear answer to a particular question, particular query, you know, particular piece of information, and is easy for AI to understand and pick as being relevant to something and pull kind of key information from this. You know, that's something we used to do for feature snippets. It was very effective. And I think it's not as important now, but I think it definitely still can help. And I think crucially it's important or useful for the audience still, you know, particularly for using things like jump to links so that Google can link directly to a section of a page that it understands is relevant to a particular query more than the page overall. Obviously, that's not a AI thing as such. But I think this is definitely not saying don't do kind of passage optimization, but it's also saying don't, for the sake of Google search at least, create chunks for the sake of it. But whether chunks work for other LLMs is another matter, which I think in general the jury's still out on a little bit. Rewriting content just for AI systems. You don't need to write in a specific way just for generative AI search. AI systems can understand synonyms and general meanings of what someone is seeking in order to connect them with content that might not use the same precise words. This means you don't need, you don't have to worry that you don't have enough long tail keywords or haven't captured every variation of how someone might seek content like yours. Again, this is another one where maybe we do need to read between the lines a little bit. I think Google, you know, are worried about people basically kind of going back to what happened in earlier times of SEO and keyword stuffing, not necessarily with the same keyword, but with different variations. Yes, Google can understand content now, and it can understand semantic relevancy. However, I think that if you've got content that is written to be semantically relevant, where you use more specific references to things that are relevant to the topic that you are trying to indicate that your content is related to, rather than using it and that and you know, little words like that, if you kind of add in semantically relevant specific terms, and you have longer content that is, you know, gives more indication that the page is definitely relevant to the topic you're saying it is, I think that's still important for traditional search. And I think that's also going to help LLMs review something and get more certainty over what it's about and what it means. And the great thing is, this also can make content better with more clarity for users as well. So I think you only really need to worry about this if you're creating content that doesn't read properly, doesn't read well for a human user because you've optimized it for AI. But if you can write semantically relevant content, very clear content, be very clear about what you're referring to within different sentences, different paragraphs, I think that helps everybody. Seeking inauthentic mentions, just like the rest of Google Search, our generative AI features can show what's being said about products and services across the web, including in blogs, videos, and forum discussions. However, seeking inauthentic mentions across the web isn't as helpful as it might seem. Our core ranking systems focus on high-quality content, while other systems block spam. Our generative AI features depend on both. Okay, so nice paragraph there on that, except it doesn't actually say what it means by inauthentic, right? But this is a bit of a warning, isn't it, for something that probably they can't fully measure. So, you know, it's like, you know, buying backlinks. Like, if you do it carefully and they can't tell, it's, you know, you're not going to get called up on it. It's the same here. Like, if you're getting, you know, mentions on other pages and you're paying for them and you're swapping them and you're getting, you know, them written by influencers and so on who you're, you know, giving products to, all these kind of things, officially is not allowed. And of course, it might be that they do get better at spotting that and the impact of that is reduced. But yeah, this is probably more of a warning not to do this than something that they genuinely, you know, can always detect. I've been careful what I'm saying there. I don't want to give people advice that they're then going to get in trouble because, you know, this is a warning, and like other warnings from Google in the past, just because they can't detect and aren't punishing you for doing things now doesn't mean they won't in the future. So another one, you know, to be smart with that in the same way you would be with building links. Over focusing on structured data. Structured data isn't required for generative AI search, and there's no special schema.org markup you need to add. However, it's a good idea to continue using it as part of your overall SEO strategy, as it helps with being eligible for rich results on Google Search. So structured data, you know, has the potential to be used by LLMs. And we don't know for other LLMs which do and don't use it. When we're talking about kind of basic web fetch functionality, most of the main LLMs probably don't pull it at the moment. When we're talking about using browser-based tools, some of those LLMs, I think, probably are looking at structured data and are using it to understand what is on the page and to be more efficient in terms of things like token usage and speed in working with what's on the page. I think a lot of the structured data that is going to be most useful is stuff that Google you know, has guidelines on and does officially support for rich results. So things like product schema. But could potentially be other types of structured data as well. Obviously, a lot of fuss at the moment about FAQ page schema being deprecated by Google. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's not being used by anybody, and it couldn't be used in the future. You know, so don't go suddenly deleting it for the sake of it. I'm not saying, you know, put a lot of effort and work into adding it, but if it's built into your system, don't stop adding it, because it might be that that's useful in the future. So, yeah, Google, you know, are rendering and indexing full versions of pages, and that gives them an advantage over other LLMs, and an advantage for understanding exactly what's on the page and being able to identify where there's a question and an answer that don't have FAQ page schema, but obviously they can still identify that. And they don't need to do that in as a quick and efficient way as tools using browser-based tools like things like Comet Browser and Atlas Browser and Claude and Chrome extension need to do. So don't suddenly start deleting your structured data. And of course, there's nothing here indicating that adding structured data does any damage, but they're not. What they're trying to say is, if you think that adding loads of structured data is going to help your visibility in Google's AI results, then you're potentially wasting your time. They could have made that clearer when they say generative AI search here, that they are specifically referring to Google generative AI search. And maybe they could add a few more caveats in this document in general, that this is the status right now. Things could change in future. There are other LLMs, other AI search platforms to consider. Okay, last few bits. I think we've gone through the meat of this. Explore agentic experiences. AI agents are autonomous systems that can perform tasks on behalf of people, such as booking a reservation or comparing product specifications. These agents can take many forms. For example, browser agents may access your website to gather the data they need to complete these tasks, such as analyzing visual renderings like screenshots, inspecting the DOM structure, and interpreting the accessibility tree. Okay, that goes back to what we were just talking about. So that's the point where, you know, potentially they are seeing the structured data and using it. And this does seem to be more generally about AI agents. And Google mentioning yesterday in the Google I/O 26 keynote that agentic features are going to be baked into the AI search experience. If this is something that's relevant to your business and you have extra time, check out the available agentic experiences and review the guide to agent-friendly website best practices, which gives some insights into how a website can generally prepare for current browser agents. Protocols like Universal Commerce Protocol are emerging that will allow search agents to do more. So, okay, maybe they have kind of, you know, added that caveat in a little bit late, but yeah, things are still evolving is basically what they're saying here. But they're clearly maybe, you know, separating that from talking about Google search specifically, although obviously Universal Commerce Protocol is going to become an important part of the main Google search experience. Next steps, what to focus on as you continue working your website. Remember that plenty of content thrives in Google search, including generative AI experiences, without any overt SEO at all. And you don't need to accomplish everything in this guide in order to succeed on Google search. To recap, here are the key takeaways from this guide. Apply SEO best practices to generative AI search. Create non-commodity content that's helpful, reliable, and people first. Prioritize effective SEO strategies over AEO/GEO hacks. Explore agentic experiences. Stay informed and ask questions. Some more links to more resources there. So that's it. I think the most interesting bit is probably the myth-busting section, at least for us as SEOs. I think in general, it's a reasonable guide for non-SEO experts, website owners, and other digital marketers who need to know the basics. And, you know, there is a lot of misinformation around At the moment, there's a lot of things that people are talking about as gospel truth that definitely works, which I think is really not very clear at the moment. So I think there's some value to this resource. I think the SEO community are getting a little bit overexcited about it, and there definitely is some narratives being talked about relating to this, basically trying to put words into Google's mouth, which actually, if you read this carefully, that's not things that they're saying. The key takeaway for me is this is specific to Google Search, not all Google AI products. Google Search generative AI experiences, including AIOs and AI mode, and is not meant to be applicable to how you optimize for any other AI platforms. I don't think there's anything in here that's very bad advice, but there are some things in here that are a little bit unclear, or which Google, could make it clearer that this isn't going to make any difference to us, but it might impact other LLMs. Well, let me know what you think. If you disagree with what I'm saying, if you think I'm misreading what Google is saying here, be really interested to hear your thoughts, but I really hope this has been useful. I think there's a lot of damaging information relating to how to do AEO, GEO out there at the moment, and AI SEO. So do question things. Don't 100% rely on Google, but probably they're more reliable for the basics than a lot of other so-called experts out there. But as a community, it's important for us to discuss these things, share ideas, share insights, and things are going to move fast. We'll probably see a lot of updates on this page as time goes by, and when I say as time goes by, it could be in weeks and months, because things are moving so fast. If you haven't watched the Google I/O keynote from yesterday yet, have a watch. It's fascinating. A lot of kind of what's coming, the details are very thin, but very exciting as a user. Very, and I was going to say worrying, not necessarily worrying as an SEO, but a new challenge. But we always like challenges, right? Anyway, thanks for listening. I have been Dave from Dave the SEO and Co.